your Bibles to Psalm 103. I'm going to read a few verses from there. Just want to say that I'm so very thankful to be here this morning, especially thankful to be Brother Thomas and Sister Elaine. We have loved them for years. They're just very special and dear to us. We feel like my soul is knit, you know, to y'all, and just so thankful to you too. Thankful for this whole church, but thankful that y'all are a little closer now so we can be together. Traveled out to Nebraska not too long ago, and it was a fun trip, and it was great to be with them, and great to be in the snow, and that's flat country out there in Nebraska. Boy, is it flat. Boy, you can see everything coming out in Nebraska. But it was great to be with y'all, great to be with that church out there, and just thankful to be here this morning. So, if the Lord will bless this morning, let's read a few verses together in Psalms 103. Let's start in verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's go to the last few verses. Start with verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'd like to talk a little bit about praise this morning. What we've read seems very simple. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Seems very simple, but some things are simply profound. There's profundity in simplicity, powerful messages in simple things. And the congregation always likes the preacher to keep it simple. So y'all say, keep it simple, preacher, and I'll try to keep it simple this morning. You know, that was Paul's fear in the church at Corinth. Corinth had a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul writes to them and says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and that subtlety means his craftiness or shrewdness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. See, our belief, brothers and sisters, in salvation in the Lord is simple, but it's simply profound. And it's so simple to understand. I mean, you just get down to the bare bones of it, what do we believe? We believe Jesus Christ saves us. Jesus Christ gives us eternal salvation. It's just that simple. And what we believe in that is that Jesus Christ does it by himself without any assistance from us. And if we believe any more than that, we've been beguiled by shrewdness and craftiness from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the majesty of God on high. So when he had by himself purged our sins. So Jesus Christ did it by himself. How more simply can it be? But it's simply profound. And we had nothing to do with it. He tells us over in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. He says, for by grace are ye saved, and through that through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So Jesus Christ does it by himself, and he doesn't receive any assistance from us in the process. So Jesus Christ saves us. It's just that simple. Don't let anybody beguile you from the simplicity of Christ Jesus. Now, there are some simple things that are simply profound that can be taught to us every day, even in nursery rhymes. I see Kinder is here. Kinder know Humpty Dumpty? Okay, everybody knows Humpty Dumpty. Kinder, help me out. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men, cut me out now, couldn't put Humpty back together again. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it's simply profound. Because, brothers and sisters, we have the Humpty represents the first man, Adam. And God gave him dominion. He set him upon the wall, right? He gave Adam dominion over the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. But then we get over to Genesis chapter 3, and the first man, Adam, Humpty Dumpty, had a great fall. And he was all broken up. And who could put Humpty Dumpty back together again? All the king's horses couldn't do it, and all the king's men couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Humpty couldn't put himself back together again, could he? Because he's all broken up himself. You know who could put Humpty back together again? It was the king. King's men couldn't do it. The king's horses couldn't do it. But the king could do it. Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. See, the king's men can't do it. The preacher man can't do it. The deacon man can't do it. The one that says the sinner's prayer man can't do it. It's got to be the God man, right? It's got to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the King, Jesus Christ. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So when the king put Humpty back together again, where'd he put him? He put him back on the wall. Now we have, because we're saved by grace, brothers and sisters, by the King, the Savior, now we have dominion again. Because we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen? Okay, we thought Humpty was simple, but it's simply profound, isn't it? Simply profound. He says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, he says, well, you know, who can separate us from the love of God? That's a good question. But he says in verse 38, for I'm persuaded that neither life, nor their death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Humpty couldn't put himself back together again. But see, the first man, Adam, by his volitional sin, placed us all in sin. That's what's called original sin. Placed us all in sin. So how do we get out of this broken, sinful nature? Death and sin. Well, Humpty couldn't put himself back together again. So it had to be somebody else. It's Jesus Christ. But see, we couldn't get back in the graces of God. And we, brothers and sisters, if we're in the covenant of grace, there's nothing we can do to get out of the great covenant of God. Ain't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? For I'm persuaded in any of these things, neither this, nor that, nor this, nor that, nor this, nor that, nor any other creature, which means you too. You can't separate yourself from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's the King. Jesus only, Jesus only. Now, God was talking to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. That's interesting. He said her seed because it's always the seed of the man, but right there it's the seed of the woman because he's saying it's going to be a virgin birth, right? It's the God man. He said, between thy seed and her seed. He says, what's her seed going to do? Her seed is going to bruise thy head. He's going to smash thy head, but thy seed is only going to be able to bruise his heel. But he's going to be able to smash thy head because he's the king. Now, this is the proto prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming king, correct? Now, Eve thought, oh, this is going to happen pretty quick because we read over in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, she goes, when she had Cain, she goes, I've gotten a man from the Lord. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. But no, that was Cain. But Jesus Christ would come through the line of Eve, through the line of Adam, through the line of David and sit upon the throne and be the king that saves us from our sins. So, he is the Savior, Jesus only. It's so simple, isn't it? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How much simpler could it be? Jesus Christ died upon the cross and washed me from all my sins. He's washed me cleaner than Fuller's soap. His blood has washed me and made me white as snow. Amen. So therefore, we can praise him, right?
Right.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to notice four things real quick in 10 minutes. Think I can do it? Check your watches. We'll see. Okay, first of all, bless the Lord. We're going to notice this is a command. I know something about the difference between a suggestion and a command. How do I know that? Because I've been married 30 years. So I know the difference. Is it going over your head? Or I know the difference because I've been married 30 years between a command and a suggestion. See, at first blush, this seems, bless the Lord on my soul, seems very sweet, seems very simple, but it is a command and not a suggestion. My wife will tell me, hey, can you take this and put it in the mailbox on your way to work? She's so sweet. That sounds like a suggestion, doesn't it, Brother Clay? But I know better. That is actually a command, because what if I forgot to do that? Ooh. Oh, that's okay, honey. It was just a suggestion. It was just an option. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So I've learned that. And there's other things I have to learn upon the way. For instance, I'm still discerning my wife's code. But I have help from my children now. So sometimes I don't know where to put something away. And my wife will say, it goes in that cabinet, dear. Right? Or I'll put something away. And she goes, that doesn't go there, dear. You know? And my son Joe said, Dad, I think I know what Mom's trying to tell you. And I said, what? Every time she uses dear, she really means idiot. I said, okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But see, this is a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sweet and simple, but it's a command. You might get confused, like my wife gives me seemingly a suggestion, but it's really a command. This is a command for us, for the disciples of Christ. Real quick, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to do a brief little Bible study over there. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses over there. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's start reading in verse 9 real quick. Because be not carried away. By the way, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, telling them not to be Hebrews. You know what I mean. It was telling them to cut off the ceremonial parts of the law, to not be pressured to go back under the Levitical priesthood, because Jesus Christ is the reality. The Hebrew, the ceremonial and sacrificial law was the ritual and was to be carried on until the reality appeal. Jesus Christ was the reality and for fulfillment of all the law, so don't go back under there. These Hebrews, these Christian converts that were Jews, that were converted to the Christian religion, were being encouraged by the writer of Hebrews to not go back under the law, explained to them that it was the fulfillment of the law, Jesus Christ was, but there are some things to do, still to do, as Christians in the New Testament church. He says over there, verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Specifically, he's talking about the law now. Because Jesus Christ, once he comes on the scene and fulfills the law, now these doctrines become strange. And divers and strange doctrine. For this is a good thing, that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Look at verse 10. We have an altar there, wherefore they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Wait a minute. You're telling us there is no more altar. There's no more brazen altar. No more altar of incense. There's no altar that we're supposed to offer on. Au contraire, he says, we have an altar. It's just not a physical altar. It is a spiritual altar. It's an altar that we're going to find out is Jesus Christ. So if in the New Testament church, you and I have an altar that we are supposed to sacrifice on, if this altar is Jesus Christ, not surprising, because in the temple we see that Jesus Christ was the high priest and the offering. And here he's the altar as well. So what are you and I supposed to do as New Testament Christians to offer sacrifice unto God? Are we supposed to offer the bullock and the turtle dove and the lamb? No, but we still have some offerings. We still have sacrifices to be made. Okay, let's read at verse 11. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for the sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I used to have a different view of this, but I think I see it more clearly. This reproach, Jesus Christ doesn't have any reproach, correct? But people laid reproach on him because he was telling them to depart from the law. The law is folded up as a vesture to put away. I'm the fulfillment of the law. He was reproached for that, and all his followers and disciples were reproached as well, correct? They'll be reproached as well. So therefore, he says, you can have a choice, Hebrews. Here is the temple. You can go inside the temple and continue with these sacrifices, these dead sacrifices now, or you can follow Jesus Christ's example and go without the camp. Either come in here, you shouldn't go in there, or you go to him without the camp, outside the city, and you're going to bear some reproach. You know, the same reproach that was heaped upon Jesus Christ is going to be heaped upon you. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be reviled. But go without the camp. Go without the camp, brothers and sisters, every day. And praise him, my friend. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, look at verse 11. It says, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify his own people, was with his own blood, suffer without the camp. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For there we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Here it is. What sacrifice are you supposed to offer in the New Testament church upon the altar of Jesus Christ? Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You are to audibly, verbally praise the Lord. And that is a sacrifice, brothers and sisters, upon the cross. Why is it a sacrifice? It was a sacrifice to the Hebrews to openly, verbally praise the Lord in that toxic environment where you could be criticized at the least, killed at the most. And you're still going to be ridiculed today if you praise the Lord in public, openly, verbally. You're going to suffer a sacrifice. People are going to reject you. Some people are not going to want to hang you. Some people are going to think you're strange. And at the most, brothers and sisters, we're going to suffer probably. You know, we're so lucky in this country. But if you sacrifice to the Lord with praise in another country, they'll kill you or imprison you. Lots more sacrifices than we have to endure. We still have to offer sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of our time. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of our worldly reputation we built up over time, but we got to do it. It's a sacrifice. And what is it? It's the fruit of our lips. What is fruit, my sisters? Isn't fruit the produce of trees or vines? It's the produce of a living thing. Because you are a living thing, as Brother Now told us today, you're born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ is within you. You are now a living, breathing, spiritual being. And you as a living being are to bring forth fruit, the produce of something living. We see in Galatians over there that what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith. Faith is all these things are the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of a living thing. Somebody says, just have faith and you can go to heaven. Well, faith is a fruit of a living thing. You've got to have a living thing first before you can have fruit. You've got to have the Spirit of God, a child of God, before you can have the fruit of the Spirit. You got it all backwards, see. Well, we got it right because we understand what fruit is. Fruit is the produce of a living thing. So we are to produce, sacrifice what? The fruit of our lips, not our mind, not our heart. I praise the Lord all the time, but I just keep it to myself. No, he wants you to do it verbally because then it's a sacrifice. My wife knows me and knows that I love her, but I don't just love my wife in my heart and in my mind. My wife wants me to tell her every now and then that I love her, and so does God. He says, praise, praise him. You can't help but praise the Lord. You can't keep it back. It's got to burst out of you. If you're in gratitude to the Lord, if you're grateful for what the Lord has done, you can't stop me from praising him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Psalms chapter 24. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be continually in my mouth. See, fruit down in Florida, oranges only produce some part of the year, seasonal. But he says, this fruit, brothers and sisters, the fruit of this sacrifice is not seasonal. It's all the time. It's 365, 24/7. Praise the Lord at all times, and his praises shall be continually in my mouth. And I'm not afraid to praise the Lord, even in front of other people. Bless his holy. Think about what he's done for you. Think about what he's done for you in 2019. Have you got clothes on your back? Bless the Lord. Have you had food on your table? Bless the Lord. A roof over your head? Bless the Lord. Have you got Jesus in your heart? Bless the Lord. Have you got sense in your mind? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. But you say bless him all the time. Does that mean just at church? No. He says, I will bless him in the presence of the congregation, but I'll bless him out there as well. His praise not just only in here, but out there as well, my sisters. You can praise him. How am I supposed to praise him on the job? Thank the Lord you got a job. Hey, how can I bless him at home? I got things to do. Thank the Lord that you got a home, right? I lost my job. What you going to do there? Yeah, but you didn't lose your mind. You may have lost your job, but you didn't lose your mind. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless him with everything's with you. I'll bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord. It's seven times here, brothers and sisters, in this one chapter. Bless the Lord. 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 You know what I think he wants us to do? I think he wants to bless the Lord. I think he's trying to get it over to us. So it's a command, brothers and sisters. It's a command, but it's also a concern. It's a priority. Oh, it's already 12. I lied. I'm over time. Okay. I got permission for your pastor. Go over time. So y'all ain't got nothing to say about it. He already gave me permission. So it's a command, but it's also a prime concern. It's a priority, my sister. We all got priorities, don't you? I got priorities. I'm doing stuff at the house. I'm watching football game on TV, or I'm studying my Bible. And my wife wants to get my attention. I've got other priorities. But my wife can change my priority real quick with four words. It says, dinner is ready now. Those four words will divert my priority to a new priority. And it says our priority should be praising his holy name. It's a command and it's a prime concern to us. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And it should be continual, shouldn't it? It should be continual. It's an ongoing activity, not just in here, but out there as well. It's on the job, at home. It is a lifestyle. You know that 50% of the Christians on the face of the earth don't have the thing that you're enjoying right here, right now? They do not have the privilege of gathering together and forming the body of Christ like y'all do this Sunday morning. And it's all about being grateful and thankful for what we have, correct? That's right. Hey, sister, hey, Kendra, hey, pay attention. Do you know another rhyme? Do you know Pussycat, Pussycat, Where You Been? You don't know that one? I'll teach you a new one. Pussycat, what's it? Pussycat, Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, Pussycat, what were you doing there? I chased a mouse under her chair. Sounds pretty simple, right? But it's simply profound. Because what have we done this morning, brothers and sisters? We have a grand privilege where we have entered the throne room. Amen. Right? This is, we have formed the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about where two or three are gathered in his name. There I am. The king is in the midst of them. We're in the throne room, brothers and sisters. And when you come in the throne room, don't you have some respect? Don't you feel like it's a privilege? Don't you feel honored to be able to enter the throne room of God? So what was that pussycat doing, though? It was distracted. It's chasing the mouse under her chair instead of being giving praise to royalty that's there, right? We can be so easily distracted. iPhones, affairs of life, things we want to do, things, the pleasures we're going to seek. All these things are distractions. But when we come into the throne room, brothers and sisters, we should look at it as a grand privilege. And when it's, you go into the throne room, you're going to be on one knee or you're going to be on both knees. One knee show allegiance. But if you're on both knees in the throne room, you're showing adoration. Oh. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Brothers and sisters, this is a command. It's a prime concern. It should be continual, correct? And also it should be a compulsion. What's a compulsion? It's passion. It's excitement. Notice what it says. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Didn't that read just as good if you left the O out of there? Bless the Lord, my soul. Bless the Lord, my soul. It'd be fine. But why do you put the O in there? Because he wants you to know this is a compulsion. It's passionate. It's excitement. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Yeah. Yeah. Now, brother, now also mentioned something to us about the Spirit of God. See, if you have the Spirit of Christ within you, you're alive and you have something pure within you. And that Spirit, if it's of Christ, it's perfect, isn't it? It's perfect. Now, why did y'all come to church this morning? You're made up, every one of y'all made up of three entities. God is what? God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. These three things are one. Aren't you three in one? What's your three in one? Tell me. Shout it out. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, y'all came to church today. It wasn't because of the body. The flesh, my friends, did not want to get out of bed this morning. It was cold. I don't want to go outside. It was 30 degrees last night. It's never been 30 degrees in Florida this year. It didn't want to, the body, the flesh didn't want to go out in the car. It didn't want to turn the ignition. It didn't want to pick your Bible. It didn't want to get dressed. It didn't want to come down here at all. It had other things it wanted to do. Now, the Spirit, on the other hand, is always willing, right? When we worship the Lord, we worship him in spirit and in truth. So you got the flesh, and then you got the spirit. Who's in the middle? The soul. So what you need to do is get the soul on your side. Now it's 2-1. And when it's 2-1, you make it to church. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Amen. And that all, and let everything that's within me bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless him for what he's done, brothers and sisters. He was on the cross, wasn't he? Oh, that was a dark day. It was a dark day when he was on the cross. It was a dark day. And there was the Son of God nailed to the cross. And the sun up in the sky refused to shine at a time because the sun was on the cross. And because of what he did, his sacrifice there, we should be so thankful. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But it didn't end there, brothers and sisters. No. You know, the Roman soldiers cheered. The Jews were just happy as they could be when he was laid down dead in that tomb. But as the old preacher says, early one morning, Jesus Christ came out of the grave in a resurrected spiritual body. Amen. And he got up, my sisters. Oh, he went down. And you and I, we've all been down, haven't we? We've been knocked down, kicked down, dragged down. A lot of us are down because we low down. Jesus Christ was down, but he got up. Early one morning, he got up. All the scriptures were fulfilled. He got up. The law was fulfilled. He got up for our sanctification. He got up to save us from our sins. And because he did that, we ought to be eternally thankful and praising his holy name. Amen. Thank you.